It is the night of Hallows Eve in 1900, as a fair young maiden named Eliza Taurasi makes her way home, her skirt billowing in the strong winds that she had to walk against. With each mighty blow, tree branches waved and bent, threatening like skeletal fingers to reach over and snatch her off the ground. Miss Eliza was not used to walking alone at night, so she kept her pace quick, refusing to look anywhere except at her feet. However, she couldn't help but gasp and look up when she heard laughter and hooves galloping in the distance. Her pace quickened. Her home was just a couple blocks away now, and the sooner she was home, the sooner she would feel safe. Then she heard the laughter again, but closer and right behind her. She quickly turned around to see nothing. Nothing at all. With a sigh of relief, she continued her journey, making it to her doorstep. Across the street, her neighbor is awoken by a scream in the night. He quickly runs to his window to see what the commotion is about, only to notice that the door to the maiden's home is wide open. But the maiden was nowhere to be seen. Many search parties were sent to find her, but as time dragged on, nobody could find any clues as to where she disappeared to. Some claim that she left town on her own free will to be with a secret lover. Some say she was kidnapped. But others say that she is still here to this very day, in this house, and that if you see her door burst open with nobody on the other side, then that is her way of inviting you in. But don't be so bold as to accept her invitation, because those who do are never seen again.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun. Dun dun dun. For everyone today.
Yay!
Thank you for your enthusiasm.
You're welcome.
I'm very excited too, I'm sorry.
Wow! Wait,
okay, I wonder who that voice was.
I was say, who is that voice? Kyle, is that you? So actually, yes, let's do a real introduction here, guys, for the new Kyle. New Kyle, take it away. Who are you? What are your pronouns?
Hi, yeah, I am I'm New Kyle, and otherwise sometimes known as Renee Rhodes of the Fate and the Fable Maidens podcast, and I use she, her, sometimes they pronouns.
Awesome. Sweet. I'm so excited. I'm so also very nervous.
And in case you didn't notice, Kyle isn't here.
Yeah, Kyle unfortunately couldn't make it today because he has a real person job.
That's at least what we're telling all of you. The truth is that we fired Kyle.
And hired me! Hi.
This is now the voice of Holland. Welcome, everyone.
So, welcome new Kyle, aka Renee. Thank you for joining us today on our little podcast here. So, we're starting the story at the haunted house all of you guys work at. Right now, you're all gathered around the front entrance of said haunted house. It is a little after... It's like late 2 a.m., a little before 3 a.m., of Halloween morning. So, you know, like, Mischief Night just ended, then it's technically Halloween now. And yeah, and you guys are all gathered in the front of this building, and you see the night manager of the haunted house, kind of leaning against the counter, talking to you guys, and he had just finished telling you the story. His name is Andrew. He just finished telling the story, and looks at you all and says, "So what do you think? I'm thinking that we could add this to the beginning of the ghost tour of the haunted house.
I look up from where I've been texting on my phone. Yeah, sure. Sounds great. Whatever.
I raise my hand. And just kind of wave it and get his attention and go, I didn't really get it. So could you maybe go over it one more time or... No? Okay. Cool. Good talk. Thank you.
There's something called Google.
I'm just still a little confused as to why there's a mummy in a ghost house.
Okay, look. You gotta come at it from a different angle here. And Andrew starts going on this long, elaborated, analysis of the story, which even if you wanted to pay attention, you really couldn't. So yeah, so as he's going on this rambling explanation, take a moment to describe your characters. Let's start with Ollie.
Did you almost say Vayu?
Ollie.
Hi, my character's name is Annie Sprucely. She's like 4'10". So very short, pint-sized, if you will. She's 17 years old, and she works in, like, the pumpkin patch, like, hayride area of the haunted house. She works in, like, the kids section, because the kids think that she's one of them, so they just, like, embrace her.
Now I'm just picturing all the children going, one of us, one of us.
Exactly. And she has like dark brown hair, and it's in like two like pigtail braids, like kind of down her shoulders. And she's dressed as a hillbilly, like with like just like, okay. So it's like a flannel button down that's just kind of, like, torn up and stuff, and some jeans, and, like, some work boots. And she has a banjo on her, and a harmonica on her. Don't ask why. For fun.
For the sing-alongs with the kids in the pumpkin patch.
Yeah, we sing Spooky Scary Skeletons, the banjo version.
1 hour remix.
That's Renee's exactly. Excitement, not my character's.
So, like, along with being, like, a hillbilly, she's also, like, a goblin monster kind of thing, and she has, like, green face paint on, and, like, some sharp teeth and stuff.
Cool. Okay, let's go to New Kyle, aka Renee.
Gigi is over on her phone, and she is wearing a dark black cape, but that's about the only thing that makes her look like a vampire. That and the fake teeth. She has her hair done. Oh, she did put some temporary black hair dye at the bottom of her hair to help it look like a little bit more spooky. And under that, she is wearing a pink top with pink jeans and sparkly pink heels.
Queen.
Amazing. I love it.
It's a Wednesday.
Halloween is on a Wednesday this year.
What's your character's name again?
Her name is Gigi Reynolds.
Gigi, got it. Okay.
And her parents made her get this job.
She does not want to be here.
No, she's much more interested in the gossip on her phone.
Of course.
She's like, Ariana and Pete Davidson just broke up. Got a tweet about it.
OMG, they did! I know, I was just talking to someone about it earlier today.
Russ, buddy. How about you?
Well, Cisco is a guy who stands at about 5'6", 5'7". He has darker brown skin, and he has very poofy hair. He is currently dressed as a mummy, which doesn't really make sense to him for this whole haunted house thing. He basically just lays in a coffin that has, like, an opening mechanism and scares people. He's gotten in trouble a few times because he's scared people and they've started crying and he immediately apologizes. So Andrew isn't a huge fan of his. but like he needs the job. He's currently working here to buy a birthday gift for his Nana.
Oh. Oh no, I'm gonna feel bad. Okay.
Sam's gonna feel bad when they kill Cisco.
Wait, Renee, did you mention like what Gigi's actual position is?
Yeah, she's a floater. I didn't mention it, but she's a floater, so she takes care of whatever needs to be done, like make sure all the rooms are in order as people are gonna pass through, and so sometimes she just like walks through and like kicks a fake zombie out of the path and then keeps going to the next room while texting the entire time. Multitasking is a skill.
Mm-hmm. Queen. Mm-hmm. Really good thing to put on your resume, you know?
Yeah.
Can text on the job.
I am actually Gigi a social media manager, and that is yes, actually.
Gigi is queen of the group chats.
And the school.
All right, cool.
And her life. And her family. And, you know, pretty much everywhere she goes.
We stand.
Thanks.
Okay. So, now that introductions part two is good and ready to go, Andrew has just finished explaining again why he thinks that this would be the perfect way to open up a ghost tour. And he kind of like pauses and waits for your reaction, but then he notices the time. He says, "Oh, well, we're about to close up, so what I need you three to do is, so you know the Hall of Mirrors, right? You know how like the kids like to go and hide in there and scare people on their own."
I just nod a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, a couple of them decide to have a little mischief night fun and make a complete mess. Cracked eggs, toilet paper, the whole shebang. So, yeah. I need you all to go and clean that up. And then once that's taken care of, then you can go home. All right?
I mean, I guess.
Well, I'm your boss, so...
You got a point there!
Mm-hmm.
I'll just start walking towards wherever the Hall of Mirrors is.
I'll follow.
Cisco follows, too.
Cool. So, you guys kind of make your way back to the room Hall of Mirrors thing. And right now all the lights of the haunted house are on because there's no more guests. It's just kind of you guys, you know, cleaning up, setting things, putting them away. And you can tell, like, everything in there is, it's pretty cheap. With the lights on, it's just a complete joke. But the Hall of Mirrors, despite that, is still pretty cool because they are really tall mirrors. You can't actually see where you're going. It is very difficult to get around if you're not used to being in there all the time.
If the lights are on, I stop at the first mirror I see, make sure that my hair looks good, make sure that my makeup still looks good, and then I keep walking, but then I stop in another mirror, like, a few feet away and do the same thing again, just to be sure.
Alright, well then, is there anything else you two want to do, or are you just gonna get to work?
I definitely, because, like, the Hall of Mirrors is the kind where it, like, tricks you into thinking you have to walk one way, but then you, yeah, so, Annie definitely bumps into, like, every possible one, that, like, she just keeps trying to walk straight, and then she's like, oh, crap, and, like, turns, and it happens very often, and there's little green smudges on the mirror from her face paint. That's it.
Cisco's just trying to pick up any trailing pieces of his costume to make sure that they don't drag against the floor or get caught in anything.
Alright, well, while Annie is walking in the mirrors and Cisco is picking up his costume.
Just like, it's toilet paper costume, so like there are parts that are falling down. So he's just kind of picking those up.
Gigi, since you are actually staring at one of the mirrors, I want you to roll a perception check.
Ooh, rockin'. I've got this. That's a 19.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, then, as you're staring at yourself in the mirror, you know, fixing up any, like, tiny little smear that isn't on your face, you know, moving your hair a little bit so it's even more perfect than the way it was 2 seconds ago, you suddenly hear this this scattering noise of, it's like, think of like if your upstairs neighbor had a dog and was running across a hardwood floor. That's what it sounds like. And you also hear this tiny laughter, like, right behind you.
Not funny, Abby.
That's incredible.
Wait, was she actually talking about Annie? Or is there another Abby? I want to know.
There's not another Abby, but she doesn't know her coworkers' names.
I love that. That's what I figured.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that that was the case.
No, sorry.
Yeah, okay, so you hear there's a little scattering, and you might keep looking at yourself, but everyone else is going to start cleaning. But, so as you start cleaning, suddenly the lights start flickering. But, you know, it's an old house. They just do that sometimes. You know, and this place is pretty cheap. Whatever.
And I have a flashlight on my phone, so, you know.
Yeah, true. This is the 21st century. It is 2018. Like, who cares? But, would you care if suddenly smoke started to fill the room like it currently is at your feet?
Who turned on the fog machine?
As the lights flicker and smoke begins to fill the room, you see in every single mirror around you a figure in the distance. It looks like it's far away. It's vaguely humanoid shape, right? And then you start hearing some of the music you guys play on the speakers in the house kind of like crackle on and start playing softly as this figure slowly gets closer and closer to you in the reflection.
I raise my phone and take like a mirror pic of me looking like beautiful but somewhat intrigued as I stare off at this figure in the mirror. I'm like, Instagram is gonna love this. Whoever came up with this, brilliant. And I start
DJing. You notice when you take this picture, the figure doesn't appear on your phone.
Vampire.
Well, it was a good effort, I guess. I'll save the post for later.
Cisco and Annie, how are you guys responding to this?
She just starts walking down the Hall of Mirrors faster, therefore bumping into more mirrors at an even faster pace. And she's like trying to walk away, and she's like, just go away.
And as you bump into more and more mirrors, each time you just hear this laughter, just ha 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 ha.
Not bad. She's really stressed out and just keeps speed walking faster.
Cisco kind of's like, okay, I can see how this would work with a ghost tour, but like, when did we get all these projectors?
All right. So, you know what? Annie's the only one kind of freaking out. Which makes sense because you're outside most of the time. You don't know what actually goes on here. But Gigi and Cisco, you're like, okay, yeah, there are some tricks up here. Whatever. It's not going to scare me. But then you hear a voice. As the music gets louder and louder, there's a voice that comes onto the speaker as well. And it starts saying,
welcome to my house of horrors. Come on over and you'll see just what makes an explorer quake with fear. Now count to three. One.
I look over two. At Cisco and I'm like, this is new, right?
As this voice starts to count down, you see this figure come even closer. Now you can see what it actually is. It is a humanoid shape. It is wearing a black cloak, but now the hood is pushed back a little bit. And instead of seeing a human face, you see a pumpkin with a face carved into it. A very menacing face, if you will. Perhaps what you may call a jack-o'-lantern. It has sharp, jagged teeth. And you can see that the smoke is actually pouring, like, out of its face.
The mouth hole.
The mouth hole. The eye hole.
Oh, and the eye hole. Does it have angry eyebrows?
It does. And yes. The best part, there's flames coming out of it, too.
Oh, good.
It's a fire-breathing pumpkin. Amazing.
So then, pumpkin pie.
This is supposed to be scary.
I'm sorry.
It would be terrifying if we're living it, but we're podcasting it, and we're all goofballs, so.
Exactly.
Anyway, once this super scary, terrifying, horrible figure counts to three, suddenly all the mirrors in the room just burst into a bunch of tiny shards just everywhere, all around you.
That's a safety hazard.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so a dexterity saving throw.
Well, as a tiny person, pretty good at that.
Well, as a not tiny person, but still a tiny person, that was bad.
Okay, what's everyone's?
18.
Gigi.
16.
Cisco?
6.
Yeah, so, Cisco, Bud?
I have bad news for you.
Oh, you're gonna take, 6 piercing damage. It's not bad.
I'm down.
Gigi just, like, swoops her cape across her face to make sure that her face is protected.
Perfect.
Because that's the only part that matters, as long as you got that going for you.
The moneymaker, as they call it.
The moneymaker. You don't need the job if you have that face, right?
And it's a classic Vogue vampire move.
Of course. I like to imagine that Annie is just really tiny and can just hop out of the way.
Annie definitely just, like, crouches and cowers and probably, like, hisses. She's like... It works.
So as these mirrors explode into a bunch of little shatters, you actually feel the floor underneath you disappear, and you're surrounded by complete blackness as you begin to just fall endlessly, it feels like. Because you don't know where you're falling from or where you're falling to, but you are indeed falling.
I would like to Scooby-Doo run in place for a moment and then fall, please.
Please, yes. Roll for Scooby-Doo.
What stat? Is that dexterity or strength? What am I rolling for here?
It's your Scooby stat.
It's your Scooby stat. Come on.
I got a 13 plus 20 Scooby.
Oh, plus 20.
I got a 15 that time, so that's great.
Do you also have a plus 20 Scooby?
No, I have plus 1 Scooby.
Darn.
Oh, okay, well, it's alright. Does Gigi have a Scooby?
Gigi would fall in style.
Gigi does not. She has a glamour stat. She just, like, her hair billows behind her, and she's, like, posing almost, even though she doesn't know where
taking
she's going
selfies.
Or what's happening.
She's taking selfies as she's falling.
My hair looks good from this angle.
Your hair.
Yeah.
It looks good. While Annie and Cisco are running in place, they stay up, they stay still in the air for, like, half a second. Before they look down, realize there's no floor, and just plummet.
Perfect.
I also get a picture of how ridiculous they look when they fall.
Thank you.
No
and
problem.
Tweet it with hashtag nerds.
You have really good, like, reaction skills that you're able to go through all of this and still manage to pull out your camera fast enough to get a picture of them.
It's just a push of the button to change the camera back and forth. It's not that hard. You get practice.
As you guys fall, reality seems to warp around you. There are still bits of mirror that are falling with you, but they're kind of, like, swervy and curvy, as if you put them in, like, Photoshop and then just use the mouse to just blur the picture a little bit. And you can still hear the music from the speakers, but now it's just really warped and comes, like, in and out until you can't hear it at all. And you all just suddenly land on a floor. And you recognize... You recognize this place as the room that the Hall of Mirrors is made in, but there are no mirrors. Everything seems pretty clean and, like, up to date. Nothing seems too worn down. And also, everything is opposite than what you normally see. Everything is maybe, in one way of describing it, the mirror image of the actual room.
That was a very good and helpful description. Thank you.
I wonder what happens if one of us casts mirror image.
You guys look up and you notice this, and that's weird, But what's even weirder are the people you're with. So, as you guys, like, sit up and look around, you notice that you are not with your two other co-workers, but you're instead with, what was it, a goblin, an actual mummy, and an actual vampire.
Who's still wearing pink.
With fabulous hair. Thank you, Russ. Yes.
Basically, Annie just shrunk a foot.
And, like, all the green paint just turned
into... It's real now.
Yeah, all the green paint turned into green skin. Mm-hmm. You're a literal goblin. And this room is also... Yeah, you guys notice that this room is basically completely empty. There's no furniture or anything, except for one small little handheld mirror on the floor in the center of the room. So yeah, you guys just fell, you're disoriented, you are now actual monsters in this mirror image of the room that you, in a building that you worked at. What do you do?
Ah, monsters!
I've gotten concussions before, but, like, I don't really think that this is what they do to you. But I could be confused. I don't know. I didn't really, I don't know that much about it. So, I think it's just a dream. Hey, guys. She has, like, long, like, yellowed nails that are kind of sharp. And she's like, oh, that's new. Oh, that's a good one. Okay, that's really cool.
I know a good salon if you need to, you know... address that.
You know what? I'm fine, but thank you. Thank you for the offer.
Sisko looks at his arm and notices that, like, where part of the wrapping is coming undone, he can see, like, his sunken flesh that has been completely, like, grayed and mummified, and he's like, oh no. Nana's not gonna be happy about this.
Aww.
I turn to Sisko and I say, I know a spa and have some great skincare solutions if you need to address that.
Gigi's just gonna give us a self-care day and this problem's gonna be solved.
As you say that to Sisko, a, like, beetle crawls out of his arm and then crawls back into somewhere else, and he's like, I don't know that that's going to fix that.
Oh!
And he just, like, goes up to Sisko and just, like, kind of pulls at one of his wrappings at, like, his leg just to, like, see what would happen.
The wrapping just, like, tears, like, just a little portion of it. And then out from that spot, like, four more beetles just fall onto the ground and scatter away.
She picks up one and eats it.
Well, don't undress him. No one wants to see that. Ew, what are you doing?
I don't know, my brain just kind of told me to do it, so I did it. It looked like a good snack.
This, you know, this doesn't seem normal.
Yeah, my brain is telling you to bite your neck and suck your blood, but I'm not doing that now, am I?
I mean, it'd be nice if you asked my permission first before you do anything like that.
Please don't suck my blood without consent. Happy Halloween.
Annie walks towards the mirror in the center of the room and just picks it up.
Cool. So you pick up this mirror. It's pretty heavy because it's pretty fancy. It's about the size of, like, you know, a face.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. With a little handle for you to hold on to.
Well, on a scale of 1 to 20, my strength is 11, so...
It's fine. Like, you have to use two of your little goblin claws to hold on to it. But you can indeed hold on to it just fine.
Perfect.
Would you be able to throw it very far? No. But as you hold it up and you study this mirror, you noticed another mysterious figure in the mirror where right behind you in the reflection, you see a little old man, right? He has, like, a long white beard. He's also wearing, like, this tattered cloak. With a hood, but the hood is down, and he also has, like a staff, but with a lamp, you know?
Yeah.
At the top.
I got you.
Yeah. He's just kind of standing there, staring at you behind you, but, like, staring at you through the reflection.
She looks at this and goes, not again, and just throws the mirror down on the floor.
Oh my goodness. Is this how the mirror breaks and we lose the quest?
We're trapped here forever. The end. At least we avoided high school.
I'm in college, excuse you.
Well, I only really care about my life anyway, so.
That's true.
Annie just yeets this mirror away from her across the room, and it just kind of, like, clatters on the wood floor a few feet away from you guys. Not very far. Again, you can't throw it very far.
I'm not even 4 feet tall now, so.
I go and pick up the mirror.
Alright. You see the same thing, where if you kind of move the mirror slightly, it's where, again, this figure is standing behind you as well now, staring at you through the reflection.
Cisco just looks at it and says, I guess we kind of came through a mirror, so I guess. And he just puts his hand up against this personal mirror.
Your hand, it stops. It goes, like, flat against this mirror. But as this figure notices you doing that, notices that he caught your attention, he just turns around and starts walking towards one of the doors in the room. Or, because there's one door. I mean, there's two doors. Like, one goes, like, out towards the hallway closer to the front of the building. And the other one goes, like, further into the house, into, like, different areas, attractions. Yes, different rooms of the house. And you see him in the reflection go towards that door and open it and walk through it.
Cisco looks at this and says, well, the weird old man went that way. And points at the door.
So we're just gonna follow a weird old man?
I feel like all things in media says that you should never follow weird old men, so, like, I'm not sure what to do.
I mean, I have a knife, and she just pulls out her pocket knife. So, like, I think I can protect us if, like, he tries to attack us or something.
Question for Sam. Do we have any, equipment or anything?
Yeah, that was the thing I was kind of questioning myself about earlier. You guys are, like, you are wearing your costumes, but, like, the fancy versions of them, right?
Mine has way more sequins.
Yeah, like, now there's way more sequins. There's a little bit of, like, a collar with your cloak. It's not made of, like, Party City quality fabric.
Or Dollar Store
quality fabric. Yeah. So this kind of glow up with your outfit included equipment. Congrats!
Okay, cool.
So you guys, like, probably have to, like, take a second to realize, like, what you actually have on you, but...
I always had my knife on
You
me.
Always had your knife.
It was always there.
I do discover my rapier and pull it out and say, well, the blonde girl usually survives. We should be fine. And then I'll go towards the door.
So you guys open up this doorway and into this hall, where in the normal haunted house you work at, you know, is kind of the graveyard area. It's the graveyard attraction. So there's, like, a bunch of dirt on the ground and foam headstones here and there with some fake, like, skeletal bones, some skeletons hanging from the ceiling with string, that whole shebang. But here, you do see, like, a graveyard scene, but even though, like, it is still indoors, you can see the ceiling above you, everything looks very real. Like, underneath you, that's real dirt, real ground. Those gravestones made out of real stone. There's no foam at all. And even around, like, 10 feet ahead of you from this doorway, you see another skeleton. But instead of, like, the shiny white plastic of a party store skeleton, like, it's all yellowed and cracked and strewn upon the dirt ground.
So seeing this screwed up skeleton, I run up and I want to steal its hand. I want its hand.
So keep in mind, Ollie, that again, this is not a fake skeleton with little screws in its joints keeping it together. The hand is made up of multiple bones, so you can maybe grab a couple bones, but not the whole darn thing.
Fine, then I would like to take two finger bones.
Okay.
The two longest ones I see.
Okay, so you reach over with your little goblin claws to go grab two long finger bones. but as you do so, suddenly the skeleton moves and you see the other hand just swing around into the air, grabbing your tiny goblin hand. And despite these bones, like I said, not having anything connecting them, they seem to be staying fairly in place. There are no screws or anything keeping it together, but it is working as a functioning hand, grabbing onto you. And as it does so, the head kind of just turns slowly from looking up at the ceiling and is staring at you.
Hey. I'm like frozen in terror and just like freeze up.
So the skeleton starts moving some more, starts shaking, and it starts to sit up. And once it's sitting up, it brings up its legs and it's able to stand to its full proper glory. And it's still holding your hand. And once it's standing up straight, its hand all the way down to hold on to yours.
Thanks.
It looks down at you, and it gives you a little spin. It spins you around.
She doesn't fight back. She just, like, is kind of horrified and just, like, lets this happen. And just, like, looks at it like, what?
And the skeleton seems to stare at you for a little bit. And noticing that you don't run away, it spins you again. And again. And Gigi and Cisco, you see behind the skeleton where the other the headstones. You see where the other headstones are. You see another little skeleton hand pop up through the dirt. And then another one next to it. And another one behind it. And you watch as all these skeletons dig their way out of their graves and stand up, shaking off all the dust and dirt that's on their bones as they kind of bring themselves together to their full human-ish forms.
So now that we're caught up to where we left off, I'm assuming I see this as well.
Yes.
Okay, so seeing this, I step back from the skeleton that I was dancing with, and I pull out my banjo, and I tentatively start to play. I just, like, pluck out a little tune, perhaps the child's remix of Spooky Scary Skeletons.
Or some non-copyrighted version of Spooky Scary Skeletons. Ooh,
you mean Spoopy Spooky. Scary Skeletons.
yep, the Scary Bones song. Generic Scary Bones song. And she just, like,
sounds my
quietly
favorite.
Starts playing it and, like, looking at the skeletons. Just like, guys.
If you can't get the right brand of skeleton song, generic will do just fine.
Store-bought is fine.
So the skeletons, despite having no, like, facial muscles, they seem pretty excited about this. They're like hopping up and down. They grab each other's hands and they start dancing with each other. However, you notice that you are trying to get down through this hallway, right? There's only one way for you to go, and the skeletons are blocking that path.
Oh my god, we have to dance with them.
I would like to trade partners and do-si-do my way down this hallway.
Alright.
This is what I was trained for. Not Cisco, me Russ. This is what I was trained for.
Alright, then Gigi and Cisco, if this is what you guys are doing, you need to describe this to me. You need to go in detail. How are you dancing your way through these skeletons?
Gigi, I will let you go first, as you are the guest.
Oh, God, why did you have to do that? Well, Gigi has a perception of how dances should go based on her limited experience in high school and sneaking into clubs.
I'm afraid. Please stop.
Queen!
So she's gonna just... Yep, yeah, she's probably gonna twerk a lot.
Oh, dear.
I love it.
Oh my goodness, okay. Gigi, I'm gonna need you to roll a performance check for twerking.
Okay.
Roll the twerk.
Roll the twerk.
That's a natural one.
Oh no. Your vampire butt is just too flat.
But it looks so good in these pants. They're size zero.
The only thing the skeletons can see is just, like, your cape just kind of, like, sways a little bit. They seem entirely unimpressed. In fact, one skeleton that's near you thinks that, what is this strange movement you're making? Are you mocking their celebration?
Oh, no.
What? And so it waves its hand over, but before anything else happens, I want to know what Cisco was doing while Gigi was trying and failing to twerk.
So Cisco has seen them sort of twirling Annie around, and so Cisco has an idea to just sort of twirl his way through these skeletons, but instead of just like twirling and going through, he's actually going to use his wrappings to try and tie them up as he's going.
Interesting. Okay. What do I want you to roll for that?
You tell me, DM.
Sleight of...
Would you like me to justify a roll?
Sure, Russ. Justify a roll to me.
I'm going to say dexterity, just because it's moving through. So maybe like acrobatics, which I do not have proficiency in. But anyways, it's fine.
How about this? I'll give you a choice. You can either do sleight of hand or performance.
I will take that sleight of hand. Well, that's a 4. Plus 2, that's a 6.
Oh my god.
Oh dear. Alright, so these skeletons are not having it with you two. Like, the one that was holding Annie's hand is having the time of its life.
I'm playing the best banjo song ever.
Oh, we'll get to that. We'll find out if you are. Actually, you know what? Before I get to their consequences, let's see how that song is going, Annie.
Performance?
Yeah, of course it's performance.
That's a 21.
Dang.
I have a +8 to performance.
So do I! It didn't do me much good!
I'm so sorry.
But also, way to go. You did great.
Thanks. I rolled a 13 and said 21, and Sam just, like, looked at my character sheet.
So anyway, you're having a ball. The skeleton that was dancing with you is having the time of its life. However, right behind you guys, there's just this scene unfolding. Suddenly, there's this one really offended skeleton by Gigi who's waving at its friends to come over. But these friends... we're just in the middle of, someone trying to tie them up and failing pretty badly, but it did, like, jostle their bones a little bit, so they're pretty annoyed. So they're all upset. They're, some of them are grabbing Cisco and the ones pushing Gigi, and they're pushing you over towards, one of the graves, actually, that they, climbed out of.
But not me.
Not you. You're fine.
Okay, wait, I don't want to stop playing because I feel like they turn on me too. Can I just like, I quiet my playing a little bit. And I just go, y'all, it's okay. We don't need to hurt anyone here. let's just all enjoy a little bit of a hoedown throwdown. And then I just play more aggressively. And hope that, like, they stop trying to put my friends in a grave.
Friend may be a strong word.
Coworker.
Gigi and Cisco, how are you guys? What are you guys doing with all this? There are skeletons trying to push you towards a grave. And Annie is trying to play loudly to let them not do that to you.
I invited them to hoedown throwdown.
Yes.
I don't know that they're not dancing with me.
That just is oblivious. That's incredible.
Sorry.
Cisco is a little panicky, and he's trying to, like, wrap himself back up again, because he kind of just let half of his wrappings just fall to the ground, and he's very uncomfortable with the fact that his arms are now exposed, and he can see all the, like, dead flesh, and it's not very pretty. And so he's kind of... he's a bit busy.
Alright, well then, what I'm going to do is, Annie, roll persuasion.
That's 20, not nat.
Alright, so the skeletons, just from that drastic change of volume, they pause pushing, and they turn to look at you, and they see the banjo, and they see their friend having a good time.
Oh, am I their friend? Oh, no, that... you mean the other skeleton?
The skeleton
friend. I was like, oh, me?
And so they all just, the whole body just kind of sigh a little bit. As they turn to you, Gigi and Cisco, and hold out their hands to you.
Dance with them.
Cisco grabs a hand. Probably by accident.
Gigi will roll her eyes and grab a hand with two fingers.
Disrespect.
I love it.
Okay, they're still gross bones. So I don't want to get my hands dirty.
Her nails are done, okay?
And they are very pretty pink.
So, thanks to help from your little Bardy friend, you guys managed to dance your way down the hallway with these skeletons, who, even though they were a little hesitant at first of giving Gigi and Cisco another chance, you know what? Annie's music was just, it was just too good to refuse, and...
spooky, scary
skeletons. No. It's not spooky, scary skeletons.
Generic Halloween too.
Exactly.
Beautiful.
You are able to dance your way down the hall with these skeletons who may or may not be described as spoopy. And you make it to the end of the hall where there is another door. And once you make it to that door, the skeletons all let you go. They back away. And they're all applauding you guys.
Bones rattling.
And you notice that some of the skeletons take a little bow.
Aww.
To you. They seem pretty happy. In fact, one of the skeletons makes its way through the crowd and goes up to Annie. And it holds out its hands, which are kind of cupped together, and inside its hands is a little pastry. In a little clear baggie with a bow on it, with a note that just says, "Eat me."
Okay, Alice, let's go.
I just immediately, like, gobble it down.
All right.
And then, like, through, like, a full mouth, I'm like, "Thank you."
The skeletons wave, and then they start, and you notice now their bones kind of, like, fall apart. They're no longer standing up straight as humans, but they fall down, but all the bones are still moving. They're kind of, like, hopping backwards. And some of them, you can see, like, these little bones hopping into the graves that they came out of.
I love them.
until they're all away, except for the one that you first danced with, who was just laying there. They kind of, like, stayed in their full form. And they just kind of lay down and wave. And then fall down as if they're asleep.
Sorry, I tried to steal your fingers.
Okay, so, you do that. You eat this pastry, and it is the best darn pastry you've ever had.
As she would say.
Yeah, as she would say. And as you eat it, you kind of feel this new energy surge through. You feel like you can take on the entire world all at once. And you get 20 temporary HP.
20 temporary HP? That's a lot.
I'm unkillable.
See, I have to make up for the fact that Kyle's not here.
What do you mean? Kyle's right here.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
So yeah, so now there's just this one door. Do you guys go through it? Do you take a moment to talk about what just happened? What are you doing?
I take pictures as the bones bounce away, but that's about it.
These ones you are able to get a picture of.
Good! Okay, Instagram will love them.
Hashtag bouncing bones.
Oh, I like it. I just hate the way I just sounded.
I just like dust off my hands. I'm like, well, that was fun. And then I just keep walking towards the other door.
All right. So when you open this door, you do not recognize what's on the other side of it at all. You cannot connect it to anything that you ever saw in the haunted house, like no attractions or whatever. Because when you open this door, what you see is a vortex. It's black and white stripes kind of like swirling together in a circle like this. You see a couple of like strange objects floating in this space too. As it goes into a distance, you see like a clock and a window, just and a door. Just all by themselves, just floating around in this space.
Well, I have nothing else to lose. I just go for it.
Okay, I guess.
Cisco's wrapping up his arm still and just kind of walks into it without really paying attention because he's focusing on wrapping himself back up.
Alright, so you guys step into this vortex and it's weird. It's like you can kind of walk in it as if there's a floor, but imagine like you're like there's no gravity, right? And so you're just kind of like slowly like floating as you walk. But then, despite, like, these swirls making it look like it goes, like, farther in, what's actually happening is it is getting smaller. Like, you can feel, like, the presence of all these objects closing in on you, until the swirls are kind of, like, moving you on their own. You have no more control of where you're moving. And then it's kind of like you're being flushed down a toilet. And suddenly you guys are just moving really, really fast in a circle, in a downward spiral. You are dropped again into a strange, new, mysterious space. But as you look up, you see these giant green faces and little eyes and these wide mouths around you. And they're huge. And you realize these are newts. You have fallen into a pile of giant newts.
I don't remember what a newt is.
It's a little tiny lizard.
Oh, she turned me into a newt.
A newt!
And actually, as you look around for your companions, you see two other newts. But these ones are dressed up. So, there are three fancy dressed up newts, and this other pile of newts.
How many times can Sam say newt?
Well, let's find out. One newt has a little knife in its mouth. Another newt is, like, covered in little toilet paper, like, teeny tiny, carefully wrapped around its body. And another one has a rapier and a cloak and... What kind of lipstick were you wearing?
Totally pink.
Bright pink lipstick all around its mouth.
I didn't keep my banjo.
No, you have a teeny tiny banjo too.
Yes! And an even smaller harmonica.
And a teeny tiny harmonica.
Thank God.
You have everything that you normally have, but newt sized.
I'm so... What?
And you look up more and you realize that, well, you're actually in, like, a bowl of dead newts.
Oh no!
Oh no!
And if you peek your little head up, you'll realize that you're actually in a lair. And you're in this giant room, which you realize is probably normal size. You're just tiny because you're newt sized. And you see these three witches off on the other side of the room, circled around a bubbling cauldron. So, yeah. What do you guys do?
What? Sam!
You're just in a, you're a bowl of nudes in a lair with three witches in it.
I'm not thrilled about this turn of events. I may scream.
A little nudie scream.
A little nudie scream that goes something like... I don't actually know how newts scream, so probably it's scientifically accurate.
I would like to begin crawling out of this bowl of dead newts, please.
Okay, you start crawling out of this bowl of newts, and you kind of flop onto this table that has a couple of, like, ingredients on it. Like, there's a... What are those things called? With the pestle and mortar. Mortar and pestle, yes. There's one of those and some herbs and flowers strewn about. There are a couple of, like, dead bugs here and there. Yeah, you can see a couple of empty potion bottles. Not like they've been empty, but more like they have yet to be filled. Well, you can see across the table there are these shelves that have, like, full potion bottles.
I follow Cisco out, and I eat a bug on the table.
What is with you and eating these bugs? My god. Can I cancel this wild shape?
See, the thing is, like, yeah, normally that is what you would do. You're an animal, you don't want to be an animal anymore. You do this thing. However, when you try to, like, reach down deep inside yourself to do so, you realize that there's nothing there for you to control. Normally there's, like, this little sense of, like, a spirit, a little part of your soul that you can just kind of change, but there's nothing to change back. It's as if you're still your human self.
So, if that's the case, if I don't have a wild shape activated, then I'd like to activate a wild shape.
Okay. Into what?
A panther.
Okay.
Just, you know, for fun.
Actually, you know what? You know what I'm gonna do? Rather than a panther, I want to turn into a Nile crocodile. Let's go. And I would like to scoop up my friends onto my head.
Okay. So you're on top of this table,
mm-hmm.
and you just suddenly turn into a giant crocodile,
mm-hmm.
and you just knock everything over as you do this. And it's all very noisy.
Mm-hmm. As one does.
And the witches, at first they were in this trance, kind of mumbling under their breath around
perhaps
this
double bubble toil and trouble.
What's that? I don't know what you're talking about. But you, with all this clatter and commotion, and suddenly a crocodile in their lair, they break out of this trance and turn to you and say, "Oh, look! We got a smart one, don't we?"
I would like to just snap my jaws twice threateningly. I would like to crunch crunch the air.
So what were you planning on doing in that fancy form of yours, huh?
I crunch the air twice. I can't speak in this form!
Not with that attitude.
And what about you two little ones? Are you okay with this?
I mean, I really don't have any say in the matter, so I'm just along for the ride at this point.
Yeah, I'd just prefer to have my face back.
Wait, can we speak in these forms?
As newts.
Crocodile can't speak.
Well, that's what happens when you wild shape, Russ. In a stealth mission.
Well, I was not informed that this was stealth. There wasn't a sign that said, "Please stealth here."
Oh, well, don't worry. We can help you get your pretty little face back. We don't want any trouble.
Crunch, crunch.
I think you do want trouble, though, I think is the thing. I'm not very good at, like, picking up at what people are putting down, but I think that's what you're implying.
Well, then, let's make this very clear. You see, my sisters here and I, we've been working so hard on some of these potions. But we just haven't had someone alive in a long while to try them out. So how about this? How about you offer to be our little guinea pigs? and test out our potions. Some could be good for you, or some could be very bad.
I would like to officially initiate a crunch.
Wait, where are the potions? Like, can we see them?
Yeah, you can. They're like across the table, on some shelves. You see a bunch of bottled potions lined up.
So how about this? You taste some of our potions. We'll see how it affects you. And you can be on your merry little ways.
Cisco, you should knock the potions onto them.
I crunch.
Like, crunch. Obvi. I mean, crunch first, obvi, but, like, then after that, though.
No, I crunch, and I'd like to crunch the cauldron and throw it.
Yeah, do that.
No, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna do the crocodile roll that they do when they grab onto something and throw the potion everywhere.
So, you start doing this. You start getting potions everywhere, right? It's splashing everywhere. It's getting on the witches, it's getting on the ground, it's getting on the walls and the ceiling, but it's also getting on you guys.
I would like to do a dexterity save to try and get away from the potion splashing on me.
All right, go ahead and do that.
Could I perhaps do the same?
Yes, you can.
Thanks.
I will fully accept my fate.
25
to 19.
Okay, you guys are fine. You manage in your small, tiny newt forms to dodge the splashes of this potion. However, Cisco, you do not. So these witches, they're running for cover, which means they run away from the door in the room to get away from this flying potion. I'm gonna... Where's a little die I can roll?
A little die I can roll.
Okay, cool. So Cisco, you feel this potion good on you, and your skin is kind of like sizzling. It feels really weird. It's swollen in some parts and shrinking in others. You can't quite see yet what it's doing, but you can keep running towards the door and out of the room if you would like. Pretty please.
Yeah, I mean, that's what my plan was, run out the door.
You just hear, like, a tiny newt voice go, like, run for it! And then tiny newt legs.
Okay, cool. So, now you guys are scrambling with your little and big lizard legs and, and tails and potion flying everywhere and witches screaming. You run through this door and you burst outside. You feel the night wind against your skin.
Is it lizard skin?
No, because now everything seems back to proportion in the way it should be. You step out of this doorway, and it's kind of like you're stepping through Jell-O, kind of. You know, like you run through this and it's Jell-O and you emerge in your goblin, vampire, mummy. Well, no, you're still a crocodile. Except the only other difference is that Cisco is orange.
I'm chill with that. I'm okay with that.
And where his eyes were just a couple of holes.
That's fair.
But while he's a crocodile?
While he's a crocodile. And the scaly skin is kind of smooth, slightly.
Perhaps like a pumpkin.
Perhaps like a weird crocodile-shaped pumpkin. And speaking of pumpkins, actually, as you guys step outside, you are by where the pumpkin patch is, where the hayrides are, where you have the little ghost storytelling sessions with the kiddos. And you see one of these pumpkins actually get up. And it has little teeny tiny stumpy legs, four of them. It starts running towards you, and it too has a face carved into it. But it looks happy and is kind of yipping. Aww. As it runs up to you.
I love it.
And you see other pumpkins get up and start running towards you as well, all happy and yipping at you guys. And they just seem really happy that you're there.
Can I pet one?
You can pet as many as you want.
I pet so many.
Aww.
I wish I had some of the pastry so I could feed them.
Aw, well, isn't that sweet. Cisco, are you playing with the pumpkins or are you still a crocodile?
I am playing with them as a crocodile, okay? I can do both.
Okay. So, you guys seem like you're in the clear for a little bit. You feel kind of safe, you can relax, take a breath. But suddenly, you hear the laughter again. Just the ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. Suddenly, from this pumpkin patch, one pumpkin starts to grow larger and larger and larger until it's almost the size of, like, a shed, right? The top of this pumpkin, it kind of like twists a little bit as if like a secret compartment is opening, and it pops off, and out of this pumpkin emerges the figure from the Hall of Mirrors. You see this person in this dark robe, cloak, and this pumpkin jack-o'-lantern head with that face with fire and smoke pouring out of it emerge. And you can see as it raises its hand and this horse starts galloping towards it. And this figure jumps out of the pumpkin and onto his horse. Oh yeah, while I'm figuring this out, roll initiative. What's everyone's initiative? Ollie.
12.
Renee?
It is a 20, not natural.
Russ?
12.
Great, what's your dex?
14.
My dex is 15.
Anyway,
you were describing the pumpkin man.
Yes, so the pumpkin man hops off his pumpkin, lands onto his horse.
King! Did he make an acrobatics check for that?
Yes, he passed. And raises the sword into the air. And first up in initiative is gonna be you, Renee.
Rockin'. Okay, well, I have this cool sword too, so, like, bring it. I'ma go in for an attack.
Okay, with your sword, I'm assuming?
With my cool sword, yes, because I want to show that off.
Roll to attack, then.
Great. That is a natural 20!
Nice. Hey!
I love it when you roll a 1 and a 20 in the same one shot.
That's what we deserve.
Alrighty.
How do you roll critical hits, Sam?
I think I normally roll damage twice, is what I tend to do.
You do it twice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I know some people, like, roll once and then double it, but I like rolling it twice.
You're valid.
Oh, that look of Renee trying to do math. I saw it
so
for
bad.
A moment.
So bad. 13 damage.
Cool. Okay, awesome. So, I imagine you just kind of take this rapier out of your cloak and you run up and just kind of stabby stab?
Oh, yes. Yeah, just straight through the pumpkin if I can.
You do this and this creature recoils as you strike it and it turns its jack-o'-lantern head to look at you and the flames just seem to grow a little brighter and hotter for a second, in anger.
I flip my hair and disengage.
Great! Yes. Annie!
That's me.
That is you. What do you do, my friend?
Orphan Annie. Well, we're just gonna go big and go home, lads. Okay, well, I need to know this. Is there anyone directly in front of me? Or, like, can I get to a place where there's nothing in front of me except the boy?
Yeah, I can say you can maneuver away to a point where there's
it's just
between,
like,
you guys.
Okay, like a straight shot to him. Great.
Just kind of, like, move off to the side away from...
Where are the pumpkin dogs? I don't want to hurt them.
Well, they were kind of at your feet, so you have to, like, hop over them. And you notice that they kind of want to follow you.
Can I, like, shoo them away? I don't want them to get hurt.
Yeah, you can shoo them away and they'll listen. You. They sit down.
I love them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then we're, like I said, going big or going home. So I'm gonna cast, I'm sorry. So what I do is I whip out my banjo and I strum a really aggressive chord, and I go, yeehaw! And then I cast lightning, and just, like, a shot of lightning just comes out of the banjo straight forward to the guy. And he has to make a dexterity saving throw.
Sam is disappointed.
Sam hates me because they banned me from yee-hawing before. So please make a dex save. Let me calculate my DC. I think it's 15.
It failed.
Good to know. Great. Mm-hmm. Okay. So here's what I should have done while I was on deck. It's 8d6 damage, and I'm not going to sit here and make you roll that. So anyway, it does 23 lightning damage.
Ooh, that's really cool,
actually. And it ignites flammable objects in the area.
Well, that's already on fire.
Touché. But I don't know if there's grass or something that also gets ignited. Sorry.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, there's just fire everywhere now.
And then I kind of back up away from, like, where the lightning bolt came out. Just quietly away from the fire. Just a little
bit. Alrighty. So,
sorry.
So, Cisco, you watch as this horrible, terrible, scary creature emerges out of nowhere, covered in flames and smoke and just general creepiness, as your coworkers rush into action immediately, not even thinking twice, attacking this creature each time, dealing damage. What do you do?
So first thing Cisco does is he pats one of the pumpkin doggos on the head and says, "I'm off to war, family." And then he runs forward in his crocodile form to bite at the legs of this horsey. He's gonna give that horsey a good crunch. That is a 16 to hit.
Sure, that hits the horse.
Okay. Let me roll for damage, and they're going to need to make a strength saving throw.
Strength saving throw?
Yep, strength saving throw, please. And that is going to be 11 damage to the horse.
Okay, I'm assuming a 9 fails the saving throw.
Yes, a 9 fails. So this horse is now grappled and may not move.
It's just trapped in your jaws now?
It is grappled, so its speed becomes 0. It cannot move from its spot.
Great. Good to know. So, this dude seems very upset. You've trapped his horse. You gave him another nostril. you set his pumpkin patch on fire.
Ah.
So, he's had enough. He just stands up on top of his horse, right? He just stands up and jumps off of it, and is going to the first person who caused this chaos, and is gonna just run right over to Gigi, flaming sword in hand. Did I mention the sword's on fire? It's on fire. I just decided right now. This flaming sword in its hand, and just with one quick motion, just slice her head off.
And here I thought that the blonde one would be safe.
You guys just watch as this creature just ruthlessly, not even thinking twice, just strike the head off of this young girl. And then points it directly to Annie.
I use my action to press F to pay respects. I play the note F on the banjo.
Play F to pay respects.
So what do you actually do?
I just give like a little sheepish wave. I'm like, hey.
It is like actually your turn in initiative.
So. Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. Well.
Oh, is that your action? All right.
I used my action. I'm going to cast Cloud of Daggers. And I'm going to do this by whipping out my harmonica. And just playing a quiet little jailhouse tune. And then a bunch of knives just surround the horse. Because it can't move. It says it takes slashing damage when it enters the spell's area for the first time on a turn. Or starts its turn there.
Yeah, so I don't think it will take it immediately once it gets to...
Oh, but like once it starts its turn?
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. 15. So it'll take 15 slashing damage. At its turn.
Cool. Alrighty, ready, 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 ready. Cisco. Are you still a crocodile?
I'm still a crocodile.
Just wanted to check in.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I've gone through a lot of stages in my life recently. I was a human, and then I was a mummy, and then I was a crocodile, then I was a pumpkin crocodile, and now I'm crunching on a horse, so I'm gonna keep crunching on that horse.
I mean, listen, sometimes we all gotta experiment, you know?
Actually, does it seem like this horse is just kind of pacified now? Or
sure,
is it still kind of... Okay, then I'm gonna release the horse, and I'm gonna go crunch on Fireman.
Okay. Go... Crunch on Fireman, then.
Roll the crunch.
Roll the crunch.
That is a 17 to hit. Without modifiers. With modifiers, it's 22.
Yeah, so that hits. Roll damage.
And it is an 11.
11 damage.
Yep, and then I'm gonna need that strength saving throw.
19.
That passes. He is not grappled. But that means that my jaws are free to crunch again.
So, seeing you come up and bite it and try to grapple it like you did its little horse companion, it's going to take its flaming sword and, I don't know, just kind of stab you with it. Because you're below it. It can just go into you, or at least try to.
I would like to, as a reaction, use my Halo of Spores and deal 6 damage.
How does that work?
So it's a Circle of Spores thing. There is no saving throw. I just use my reaction and deal damage to a creature within 10 feet of me.
And can you just do this whenever you want?
As long as it's one, I can do it once per turn, because it's a reaction. And it's just whenever I want.
That's so OP.
Okay, so either way, you did 6 damage to it. And it's still going to attack you. That's a 10?
Nope, does not hit my AC. As a pumpkin crocodile.
Great. Awesome. Then it's just going to kind of like... Not like kick you, but kick you to shoo you out of the way.
Rude. Excuse.
And then... over to... to you, Annie.
You know what I'm going to do? There is always one thing that works really well as a bard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's insulting things.
Oh, jeez.
So I'm going to look at the dude. And I'm going to yell, "Your face looks like a 5-year-old carved it. And I know it because I've seen a 5-year-old carve a pumpkin before." Can you make a wisdom saving throw?
That's a 4.
It takes some damage. 2. It only takes 3 damage. Isn't vicious mockery great?
Vicious mockery is amazing.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's my turn.
Well then, Russ, what do you want Cisco to do?
So, as a bonus action, Cisco is going to drop his wild shape and turn back into Cisco form.
Keep in mind, Cisco is still orange. And Cisco has a pumpkin for a head.
Just for flavor.
That's fair. I'm Pumpkin Boy now. I'm like the new Pinocchio. My quest is to become a real boy.
You lost that quest a while ago.
So, I'm standing right in front of this person. This special, special person. I'm gonna go ahead and as my action... use conjure animals. So what this looks like is that Cisco's rat, well, I don't know if he really has rap gangs anymore, because he's not really a mummy, he's a pumpkin now.
He does, but instead of like rotten like flesh, it's more just like squishy pumpkin underneath, you know, like when you carve a pumpkin and it's just been out like way past Halloween. Mm. And it starts getting like all soft and dented. That's what you look like right now.
So, Cisco's soft and squishy pumpkin insides fly out of him and create, let me pull up the document. 8 panthers made of squishy pumpkin material. So I'm going to go ahead and roll for their initiative, if that's all right. That's a natural one. So they'll go last.
Here's what's happening. So you summon these beasts, these scary, terrible, malicious beasts made out of squishy, soft pumpkin. And you kind of order them to go and attack this thing. But as you do, time seems to slow down around you. And you can hear in the distance just the ringing of a bell, just loud and low and vibrating. Yeah. Like a bell tower, you know? The bell rings. The panthers start to move. They start to jump over to this pumpkin head. Another bell rings. You can see the little puppy pumpkins. Pupkins. You can see these little pupkins notice these panthers and decide that, no, they must protect all that is pumpkin. And
what?
They're people.
They're people. And they're going to go and stop these rotten, dead things. And another bell rings, and suddenly everything is just completely frozen. Nothing is moving anymore. Even the flames are still, and the smoke is still. And then by the time the fourth bell rings, everything seems to fall apart. Similarly to when you were in the Hall of Mirrors and everything just kind of shattered and you fell. It kind of happened like that, but instead of everything shattering, it all just kind of seems to just melt away as you enter this void again. And when you're finally able to open your eyes and blink away this nothingness, you find yourselves outside the haunted house. The normal one, the one that's not weirdly reflected backwards. And instead of being out back in the pumpkin patch, you're actually in front of the building, and you're sitting in an ambulance?
And Gigi's head is gone.
Oh, no!
So it's like there's an ambulance there, and, you know, the back part's open, and the two of you are kind of, like, sitting on the edge. You have these, like, shock blankets wrapped around you. Gigi is off. You can see her outside of the car. She's sitting on, like, the street curb, phone in her hand, typing away. She seems frustrated about something, but she's not paying any attention to you guys. She seems fine. Her head is fully intact. She also has a shock blanket wrapped around her, but yeah, aside from that, she seems fine. And as you guys are sitting there, there's this EMT person. Doctor? No.
EMT.
Yeah, this EMT walks over to you, and it's this little man. He has, like, little spectacles that he's wearing. He has a tiny flashlight, and he's kind of, like, shining it in your eyes, checking your pupils, and he holds up his finger and asks you guys to follow it back and forth. And he turns off the little light, and he smiles, and he says, "Well, you two really had quite an adventure, didn't you?"
And he just, like, looks at him, and once again, you can hear, like, this probably got cut out. You hear, like, the dial-up noise going through her brain as she's, like, processing, and she's like, "What?" And she, like, looks down at her hands. Are they goblin-y?
Nope, they're little human hands.
Little human hands. And then she looks again and she's like, "What?" That's it.
I can understand your confusion. You've been through a real mess after all. But just sit back, relax. I'll have our nurse come, make sure you have water and that you're comfortable while we contact any family you have nearby. Do you need anything from me before I call over our nurse?
She just, like, grabs his sleeve and it's just like, What happened?
Seconded.
Yeah, well, you know how teenagers can be on mischief night. They need to go and find anything to cause havoc. In fact, this guy over here, and kind of motions off to the side to where a police car was, and you see this one. He looks about like 13-year-old boy, just kind of sitting in the car, arms crossed, kind of huffed.
Oh.
Yeah, he thought it would be funny to hide out in your Hall of Mirrors, but when he heard you all get in there, he panicked, he says, and just threw a rock in self-defense, and it just shattered, and the more he ran, the more the mirrors broke, and by the time we got here to figure out what was going on, we just, well, we found you guys in just a pile of glass, honestly. Honestly, we're still confused about it as you are.
Okay. Yep. Cool. All right. What had the accent just died?
We'll question the youngin' and catch you all up later. I'm sure your boss will fill you in. I bet you all deserve a good, day off, am I right?
I deserve many. And overtime and compensation. Thanks.
So he smiles at you guys. He puts his flashlight in his pocket and he calls over to another EMT close by, and says, Eliza, can you come bring these two some water and make sure they're comfortable while we get their parents? And this EMT, she walks over and she says, oh yeah, sure thing, Jack, no problem. And she comes over to you guys and she has two water bottles and she hands it to the two of you. And she just kind of smiles and looks at you guys for a second.
I glare suspiciously while chugging the water bottle.
Don't we know the name Eliza? I say, as Cisco.
I don't know, do we?
Well, it is a pretty common name, so.
Well, I don't really know that many people, so.
Well, have you two, gone to the high school here in this town?
I nod.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, we do some, visitations there. You know, the EMTs, we show some common, emergency practices, so you might have seen me there.
I nod, okay. While still suspiciously glaring.
She kind of reaches out her hands and she pats your shoulders and just smiles sweetly and she says, thank you. Before standing up straight, turning around, and walking away. And so Jack does get in contact with family nearby, so like parents or roommates if you're living with someone or if you're living with your parents. Eventually people come to pick you up and bring you home. You guys do pass by the police car as you're leaving and kind of catch a glance of this rowdy teenage boy huffed, you know, arms crossed in the police car, and he watches you as you go by. But then he also smiles bright and wide, and for a second, you can see these sharp little jagged teeth, and his eyes seem to glow yellow as you all drive away.
Hi, everybody, it's me, your favorite DM. I hope you enjoyed that episode. I have a couple of points to go over, so I'm talking really fast so it doesn't take up a lot of time. One, happy Halloween! The best holiday of the year, in my opinion. I hope you guys have a lot of fun, eat a lot of candy, try not to get too many cavities, but you know what? Sometimes that happens when you're having fun. If you're wearing any super cool costumes, you should post a picture of it on Twitter and then tag us in it, because I want to see it, and I love you guys, and want to see what you're up to. Two, wow, new Kyle, am I right? And by new Kyle, I mean Renee. I am so happy that we had Renee on this episode. Hey, Renee, if you're listening, what's up? She is an amazing DM for the podcast Fate and Fable Maidens, which is also another family-friendly D&D 5e podcast. So I recommend you check them out because she's amazing, and so is the entire cast. Which meant I was super nervous DMing for her. But, you know, I guess it was fine. We had fun. She's amazing. Number three. Yes, another point. Sorry for missing last week's episode. Life got in the way. We are busy people. But thank you guys for understanding. And I hope you enjoy the two episodes that are released today. This Halloween special and our normal episode 10. Yes. Episode 10. Sure. If I'm wrong, whatever. Sue me. All of our social media is in the description, along with where you can find Renee and the Fate and Fable Maidens. So, yes. Stay in contact. Cool.
Newt, 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 newt.